And so I would say, if you have a goal, if you have a dream, surround yourself with the people that will help you get there and put it out there in the universe, because you never know who can help you get to that and help you achieve your dreams.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy. You guys, I am so stoked to bring to you Layla. I met Layla through an awesome contact of mine who runs an incredible company, not a female founder I know, but this awesome guy named Brian who has a company called Buddy Truck. And Layla's bubbly personality and just awesome tweets, I was like, you have to come in. I have to have you on the Women in Tech Show. And what I found out was that not only has she been in tech, she also has been immersed in LA tech, which is crazy. I had no idea. And I know this is a global show, but as you guys know, I run We Are LA Tech, so it was very exciting for me to hear that and be able to explore that further with her on this podcast episode. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about who you are. Introduce yourself, who you are. How do they dive into the world of Layla?
Yeah. Hi. Hey, guys. My name is Layla Najafi, and so I've been in the tech world since 2011. I started off working for Eventbrite, and it's the online ticketing company, and I ran their LA market for almost 5 years. Dream job, basically got paid to go to events, host events, just sort of keep a pulse on LA happenings. And then after that, I went to Lyft, the app, the transportation app, and ran their LA market for a year. And just this past August, decided to leave to pursue my passion and kind of go off and do my own thing and be my own boss for a little bit. So
now, why? What made working at Eventbrite your dream job?
So I will never forget when I saw the job description, I thought, this, they clearly made this job for me. It was basically you had to keep a pulse on LA events, really know what was happening in the city, be that resource for people on what to do, things to see, local events, and you had to host events, which I love doing. And really, it was just a dream job. I mean, I got an opportunity to meet so many different people from so many different industries, whether it was tech, music, art, fashion, just all across the board. And it really was an incredible job. And it, you know, I was a social butterfly for about 4.5 years and got to host really cool events and work with some amazing people in the city. So yeah, it wasn't for everyone. I mean, I definitely was out quite a bit, but it was a dream job.
What was your job title at both Eventbrite and Lyft?
So at Eventbrite, it's an interesting question, because when I was hired at Eventbrite, we were called LA, well, I was called the LA Event Evangelist, and we had event evangelists all over the U.S., and at some point in my job, my team sort of got together and said, well, this is sort of a strange name, people give us a weird reaction, so we changed it to marketing manager. So I was the LA marketing manager, which is a more formal title. And then at Lyft, I started off as the LA marketing team lead.
Oh, cool. And like, why was it intentional that you worked with tech companies? When was it that you first became in love with the tech world?
Yeah, so I actually come from a very different background. Prior to my role at Eventbrite, I was working for Johnson & Johnson, which is very corporate. And I was working on getting my MBA at the same time. So I was in a nighttime program, but working part-time during the day. And I did that for about 3 years and thought, all right, this is great. I've worked in corporate America, got my experience, but definitely don't want to work for corporate America again. And I definitely wanted my next role to be something that was a little more fun, creative. I can get my hands and feet wet in, you know, more of the day-to-day things and feel like I'm making an impact in the business. And so I started looking into tech companies. And at that time, Groupon and Living Social were really big. So I applied there. And then I looked on the Eventbrite page because I believe I bought tickets to a few events from Eventbrite, and they just so happened to be hiring their LA event evangelist.
That's so cool.
And 14 interviews later, I got the job.
Was it really a lot of interviews?
14 interviews, but it's not as intimidating as it sounds because it was really more just they wanted to get to know you. It wasn't just grilling you with questions. It was like, hey, come to our headquarters and see if you're a cultural fit.
And in being a part of tech companies like Eventbrite, I mean, do you even consider Eventbrite and Lyft a tech company? I mean, to me, they are because it's like commerce for Eventbrite. And then Lyft is a mobile app providing, you know, on-demand transportation. But did you receive them as tech companies? I'm just curious.
100%. I think Eventbrite was built on technology. I mean, that is what I think sets them apart from competitors is their business is completely tech driven and they are constantly reinventing and developing new product features and 100%.
Yeah. And what would you say through and through? You've brought up the terms like marketing manager and evangelist. And like what would you say your calling is through and through?
That's a great question. I would say I'm a community builder.
I love it.
I'm a community builder.
And what about you makes you a community builder?
I am a connector. I need to constantly be meeting new people. I'm a social person. I love to just meet new people every single day. And I love connecting the dots. So if I meet one person today and then I see that down the line I meet someone else that maybe is in the same field or they could, you know, I mean, just the other day I introduced two friends that might be opening up a restaurant together. So that is my pride and joy is really connecting people and building community. And, you know, if I'm super passionate about something, I will scream it from the top of my lungs and make sure everyone I know in my network knows about it. So I think that's sort of why I love building communities and evangelizing, if you will.
And when is the first moment? I actually have a moment. I love creating mutually beneficial relationships as well. But I have a moment. I was actually in Mexico reading The Tipping Point by mm-hmm. Malcolm McCall. What is it, Caldwell? Mm-hmm. I can't think of how to say his last name right now. Sorry, everybody. Gladwell?
Oh, God. My marketing professors would kill me right now.
I know. Like, I sound like such an idiot, but it's fine. But I was reading The Tipping Point. Here, Matt, just scratch that because I sound like an idiot. I was reading The Tipping Point in Mexico, and in The Tipping Point, it said, like, one of the most prolific business books, it said, like, a connector is this person that like the nucleus of who everybody knows, and typically they know one another through you. I was like, oh, holy shit, that's me. Like, I had no idea that I was this person in the world. And when was your moment that you're like, oh, this is who I am? Do you have a moment like that?
I don't know that it was one defining moment. I think, you know, when I was at Eventbrite and I would host events and I would bring the community together, whether it was building a community in the tech world or the nonprofit world or the foodie world. You know, when I would host these events, I would get such a high from the experience that I was able to create for people. And I think I knew it while I was in it, but it wasn't until I think after I left my job at Eventbrite that I realized that whole job was a pivotal moment in my career. And it made me realize, like, I never felt like I was working a day in those 4.5 years. I think that's when I realized that that's sort of what my calling is, you know, being around people, connecting people, creating relationships, building business out of relationships. And that sort of, it was like, you know, hindsight is 2020 when you look back.
Yeah. Wait, I have to, like, why in the world did you leave?
A couple of reasons. I think I just reached a plateau. I was no longer being challenged in the role. I did it for 4.5 years, and that's a really long time to be in, you know, the same role. And I didn't want to move to San Francisco. So it was kind of like there was it wasn't really going to go anywhere. And I think eventually they phased out their community manager program. And, you know, Lyft had approached me at that time. So it just seemed like the right time to shake things up. I think you have to shake things up and always feel challenged. So it was my time to
100%. To leave. Yeah. Have you had a mentor throughout your life in getting you to where you are today?
I have. I definitely have had people that I've turned to. I think, you know, in all honesty, I think I'm inspired so much by the people that I meet in my day to day. It's the women that I met, you know, at Eventbrite, the women who quit their jobs to pursue their passions. It's, you know, the entrepreneurs that I've met. It's really, you know, I've definitely had a few mentors, but I think it's, I think I take a little bit from all the people that I've met along this journey, and they all inspire me and they all teach me something.
100%. 100%. What, like, you were talking about challenges and you like to be challenged, as most of us do, but how about those challenges that are like really dark days? How do you overcome the impossible or what feels impossible, at least in the moment?
Yeah. You know, I think that we as humans like always need to be pushing ourselves and pushing our boundaries and getting outside of our comfort zone. So if we're not doing that, we're not growing. And what's so interesting is that now I'm a writer. And if you had told me 7 years ago that I would be writing, I would say you're crazy, because I hated writing. It was one of my least favorite things to do. It was such a challenge for me to even just write a paragraph. And I think what I have, and it's still not, you know, the easiest thing for me, but I think the reason why I love the challenge is because it's constantly pushing my boundaries. And I think I know that it's fueling my creativity, but it's also pushing me to try a little harder and do something that I'm not necessarily comfortable doing, or do something that I'm not necessarily comes easy to me. So I think I just realized that, you know, you have to just push through it, and there is good that comes from those challenges. And so, yeah.
I mean, you've talked a couple times where the path that you've been on hasn't been where you wanted to continue going. So you pivoted, which had to be a challenging decision to make in itself. Yeah. What have you learned from that type of life experience that has actually aided in your success today?
I'd say one of the biggest lessons I learned was, you know, in college, I actually have another story where in college I was pursuing a career as a dentist, and I went to dental school.
Oh, that's totally
off, right?
Yeah.
And I was in dental school and made the decision to leave. And, you know, I didn't have a plan B, and I then ended up working for Johnson & Johnson, and then, you know, decided to leave and then go to startups. And I think the biggest lesson I learned was you can plan all you want, but sometimes in life you just have to not plan and see what opportunities come your way. I've basically thrown plans out the door because nothing in my life went according to plan. And I've always been that girl who was a planner and knew what my next step would be a year from now. And, you know, when people would ask, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's like, oh, associate brand manager and, you know, director of this. And I threw all that out the door because the best decisions I've made in life were the ones where I took a risk, where I didn't have a plan B, but I followed my gut and I followed my heart. And it just sort of worked out.
I mean, a lot of people that know me know I like going backpacking, meeting with tech companies. I love doing that.
That's
abroad.
Awesome.
However, the one thing I learned from backpacking, I'd say my most important lesson is that fantasies can't be planned.
Oh, 100. I think the best moments in life are the ones that are spontaneous,
yeah,
or when you don't have a plan. When
totally.
You go into it. I mean, you have to have some idea, direction, but really you can't, you can only plan so far ahead. I think life has an interesting way of working.
Totally.
You just got to be open to what comes your way.
I think the end goal, like I remember last time I went backpacking, I was like, I got to get to Poland. I have to get to Poland. I had this obsession. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when I would land in Poland, like confetti would fly out of the sky or something. You know what I mean? Like, and then nothing happened. But I mean, it was great being in Poland, but like it wasn't like some fantasy,
yeah,
that I expected to achieve. I don't even know what I expected exactly, but I definitely expected something. And it just was this huge wake-up call that me wanting to go to Poland was only the compass so that I could go everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
that I didn't know.
And that's the thing is, I think you set yourself up for disappointment when you plan and get fixated on one thing. You have to, when you are too narrow-minded or, you know, just focused on one thing, I think you are blind to all the other wonderful opportunities 100%. That come your way.
100%. And speaking to that, what would you say your dream is? Like, what life advice do you give people and how to realize their dreams?
So this is an interesting question because I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think I had a realization or sort of light bulb moment myself recently, which is, you know, so many people say don't share your dreams and kind of don't talk about what your goals are.
Right.
Just keep them to yourself. And I think the complete opposite. Like, tell the world what you want to do. Put your dreams out there because you really never know who can help you or who can connect you. And I think for me personally, my dream would be, you know, I'm working towards a career in hosting. And it's been incredible because ever since I've put it out there in the universe, so many people have been wonderful to connect me to someone in their network that they know. And so I would say if you have a goal, if you have a dream, surround yourself with the people that will help you get there and put it out there in the universe because you never know who can help you get to that and help you achieve your dreams.
I would love to hear some like top five takeaways or tips that you would suggest to people. How can they build community?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, first and foremost, I think building a community is both, it entails both online and offline engagement. So many business owners I saw when I was at Eventbrite never utilized social media, which was mind-boggling to me because social media is a free tool for business owners. I mean, there is no reason why every single small business owner should not be on every platform. It's the number one way I think you can build community and build awareness. So I would say number one, you know, get on social media. And I think, you know, the offline component is just as important. We live in a world where we're so obsessed with social media and everyone's, you know, so we've lost that connection to people. And I think the brands that I think do a good job are the ones that continue to build engagement offline as well, whether it's hosting an experience or really creating a touch point with the brand in real life. I think that's really important. And I think, you know, engaging with your customers or your community, whoever that might be, reaching out to them, starting those conversations, getting to know them, whether it's on social media or, you know, in real life, really creating a connection is important. And so I think a lot of businesses fail to do that and they just neglect their customers and their so I think that's important.
One thing that I think about often is you throw around terms like metrics and users and analytics. I get them all the time. I'm like, nope, human beings, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. They are humans. And when you look at each email, every event attendee, every, mm-hmm. you know, mobile app install as a human being, mm-hmm. then you'll start to treat them like human beings, you know?
I mean, it's so hard to put, to quantify, you know, brand awareness through, you know, I got asked that all the time at Eventbrite. It was when we host events, well, what are the metrics and how are we measuring success? I mean, success was if more people in this room knew about Eventbrite after they came to this event versus before, then I did my job.
Right.
If they felt a connection to the brand, then I did my job. And I think that sometimes with marketing, you can't quantify things, and that's okay. You just have to understand that there is going to be some budget that goes to certain initiatives where there's not going to be an exact number or ROI or way to measure success. It's really just creating that human connection that people want and crave so much.
Totally, 100%. So who's a woman in tech who really inspires you?
I would have to say Sheryl Sandberg. I know that's like such a common answer, but I read her book and was so blown away at how she's just so inspiring, where she's, you know, what she's accomplished in her life and the fact that she can have a career and she can have a family. And, you know, she's really paving the way for women you know, women in tech, but just women in general. And I think she's really been an inspiration.
Some people may not know who that is.
Oh.
Can you fill us in?
Yeah. Sheryl Sandberg is the CMO of Facebook.
And she wrote a book.
She wrote a book called
Lean In.
Yeah. For a second there, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And it's a very popular book. That's awesome. And what's next for you? You were talking about hosting a little bit earlier.
Yeah. So I'm currently writing for, you know, freelance writing for a number of digital publications, which has been great. I get to write about food, travel, LA life, and it's been a lot of fun. I think for me, the next step would be sort of building and continuing to build my brand. And I would love to host for a digital publication. So that's sort of what I'm working towards right now.
So you guys, if you are looking for a host and you are know of or have a digital publication, how can people connect with you?
I'd say, you know, I'm on Instagram. It's at Layla's List, and my email address is listed in my bio. So I'm pretty, you can find me pretty easily.
Can you spell that?
Sure. It's at LEILASLIST. So Layla's List.
Perfect. And just to wrap it up, Layla, a little quick fire round.
Yes.
Ready?
I love quick fire.
So what is your favorite book?
Lean In. I guess I would say Lean In.
I helped her cheat.
I have so many. It's tough to pick. But also, I do love the Chelsea Handler book. She's hilarious.
She is hilarious. Yeah. I love Chelsea Handler. Podcast or YouTube series, video series that is a must watch or must listen?
Tim Ferriss.
His podcast.
Yep. podcast.
What resource would you recommend to someone wanting to dive into the tech world or business world?
Ooh, a resource.
Accelerator group, school.
We are LA Tech.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. If you guys want to dive in instantaneously into the LA Tech culture.
Surrounding yourself by tech, right?
Yeah. No, honestly, we are LA Tech. I'm really proud of what I've built. I'm blown away
at what you've created. So,
You guys that are interested in LA, or if you are in LA, the We Are LA Tech mobile app has every single community organizers events in LA. So like anything Layla worked on in the Eventbrite ecosystem at that time would have been on the We Are LA Tech mobile app. It's not just We Are LA Tech events. Your hobby?
Cooking.
Oh, I love cooking. What kind of cooking do you do?
I don't limit myself. I love to cook. I love to bake. Barefoot Contessa on the Food Network is my favorite chef of all time. So
awesome.
I make all of her recipes.
Yeah. Rad. Yeah, I'm going to be cooking later today. I just ordered recently. I think it's called HelloFresh. I saw it on a Facebook ad, and they send you all the ingredients.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right? Yeah. And they give you the recipe. And I'm not an instruction reader, but I dig it. For how they make it really simple. And I've made, for the first time, I made pork chops.
Amazing.
I just made cod with like pancho or something on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's the like flaky Blue Apron. Thing.
Yeah, kind so of, but like, more simple. I've tried it. Blue Apron, and that was like,
okay.
But that was yummy too.
It's great because you feel like you're a gourmet chef.
Yeah.
And you don't really
totally
need
to.
They like dumb it down for you.
They do. It's amazing. So thank you, HelloFresh, for feeding me this week. One more time, how can people stay in touch with you?
My email address
is
Layla S. Najafi. It's my last name is spelled NAJAF, like Frank I, at gmail.com, or Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever your channel of choice is. I'm at Layla's List.
Awesome. Layla, thank you so much
for being
on the Women in Tech podcast. I love, love, love having these inspiring, amazing women in tech on the show, hearing about their stories. And I know you guys do too. If you want to connect deeper with more incredible women, check us out on the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight there. Or just tweet at us at Women in Tech Show on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter. I love you guys. I'm so excited to bring more fabulous people your way. And I will talk to you, see you, hear you in the next one. Bye.
Bye, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.